Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 20, encouragement to grow out of stunted spiritual growth. We live in an era of great need for encouraging words amid man's discouraging spiritual failure. So a word from God on the infinite supremacy and sufficiency of his Son, Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The Epistle of Hebrews offers it in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 20, that follows a strong parenthetical warning against turning from Christ, encourages believers to grow instead of remaining stunted. So we view it for our sight. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 20. But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promises, a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying thee I will multiply thee. And so after he, that's Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men truly swear by a greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered for us, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Fascinating passage. Well, after warning about possibly becoming so hardened against the truth that they would never repent, that's in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, the author of the epistle sought to encourage his readers. He assured them that he and his fellow workers were confident that his readers would repent unto the salvation of moving out of stunted spiritual growth and hardening to mature in Christ. He's not talking about salvation of accepting Christ as Savior. When we use the word salvation, many times we use it in a very narrow sense as Christians today. We think salvation, that's when you believed in Jesus Christ and you were justified by God. But the word salvation, in its original use, the authors used it in the sense of rescue or deliver. So you have to look at the context. What does he mean by rescue? What does he mean by deliver? Now, it can mean deliver in the sense of delivering a person's soul from hell to heaven by faith in Christ. But it can also, it's used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, of the deliverance of the rapture out of the world. It can also be used where Paul says, I hope to be delivered. When he's, you know, hopes he's going to be delivered, he's going to be released from prison and sent back to the people. So you have to look at the context. And in the context here, the salvation that he's talking about is the deliverance from the stunted spiritual growth in which they're going to end up going into spiritual hardening. They're going to be saved from that to go on into growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the author added that God was not unjust, as if he were about to punish them severely, for he would not forget the work and love that his readers had shown and still showed for God's people. That's an important verse, in verse 10. It shows that just because if you've been following the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord for a number of years, and then you fall out of fellowship with him, it doesn't mean that the Lord's going to lower the hammer right away. God is aware. He's looking at the record of a Christian. And so he's very keenly aware of what you've been doing for the Lord, what I've been doing for the Lord. And he's very cognizant of that fact. And so he allows time. He's very gracious. I know he's done that with me in my life in the past, and it's always rewarding to know that. But the author wanted his readers diligently to stay committed to Christ, making their hope of blessing sure. That's what verse 11 about. He did not want his readers to become nothroi, is the Greek word, slow or sluggish in stunted growth, but through faith and patience to inherit the promises of God for spiritual fulfillment by maturing in Christ. It's interesting how this fits in with what we were talking about in the sermon this morning. I hadn't really planned it that way, but in the conclusion part, you notice we had, there were two paths. You can take a path that goes into hardness, and that's a really sad path. And in fact, Christians can go into error or even into a cult. Or you can take the path of spiritual growth where you're always being nurtured by the Lord. And that's the path that God wants us to take, the extreme paths. Well, the author then referred to Abraham's example of inheriting God's promise by faith and patience. And Abraham, of course, is an excellent example. After Abraham had endured by faith and patience God's test that he offer up his son Isaac, the son of promise, the Lord in reward gave him the great promise in that God took a promise invoking his own name that he would surely bless Abraham and multiply his descendants. That promise is given in Genesis 22, verse 17. But that promise came after a tremendous trial. God had provided his son Isaac to Abraham when Abraham was beyond the point of being able to produce. His wife was beyond the point of being able to produce a child. And God supernaturally enabled them to produce this child. This is the child of promise. That's Isaac. And when Isaac is of age, Isaac, we believe, would have been about 20 years of age at this point. God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son and offer him up as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. And we know later on that one of those mountains was the temple site. That's where Abraham offered him up. Now, to do that, he was going to have to kill the son who was the heir through whom he was going to have all the blessings. That's a big test. But Abraham knew that God had brought his son from the dead. Essentially, his reproductive organs and his wife's reproductive organs, essentially dead. He'd brought this son to life out of that. So he is able to do it again. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, he felt that he was going to have to go through and kill his son, but then God would raise him from the dead. Because he'd already raised him from the dead, essentially, already to produce him. So that was tremendous faith that that man had. You talk about a trial. This is the son that he loved. It's the first time the word love is actually used in the Bible. Take the son whom you love, and offer him up as a sacrifice. As a father, I cannot perceive of offering my son up as a burnt offering. I can't go there. So this is a great man of God who did this. But anyway, after that, God says, all right, now I'm going to really bless you. I'm going to not only give you children, you're going to have children as the stars. I'm going to multiply, greatly multiply your seed. Now the author of Hebrews then applied that very Genesis 22, 17 and 18 promise of God to his readers. Because guess what? That tremendous promise to Abraham includes you and me and the blessings that God wants for me and you. And that's where we get into the application of this. He did this to encourage them to trust God and endure trials contrary to that trust for their own spiritual fulfillment. Significantly, Genesis 22:18 of God's promise to Abraham affects all believers. For God there claimed that he would bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham's offspring. And guess who Abraham's offspring is, according to Galatians 3:16? It's Jesus. Jesus. So we're blessed through him. He's our Messiah. He's our Lord. Now, the oath that God took by using his own name and making the Genesis 22:17 and 18 promise differs from regular oaths by men. For men take oaths by invoking the name of God, not their own, as they seek to confirm their oath by being who is greater than themselves. We do this. If we're trying to promise an individual, that if we were in the time of the Old Testament, we would say, I take an oath in the name of God that this is going to happen, that I will do this. And you're backing it up with God. In other words, may God punish me if I don't carry out my oath to you. So that's a very strong oath. However, it's technically unnecessary for God to take an oath and for him to take an oath in his own name. Why? Because God never lies. God is trustworthy. God doesn't have to take an oath. But God says, look, we've got people who are coming down the line. Abraham's physical seed, they're going to be people who are saved through his his descendant, Jesus, I want those people to be absolutely sure that I'm planning to bless them through the seed of Christ. So I'm going to take an oath as God. I'm going to take an oath, and I'm going to take an oath by my name. So it's kind of like a triple duty. You have God making his word. All he does needs to do is just make his word, but he's promising by means of an oath and by means of an oath in his name. And this is God offering it, so it's he's tripled it. He's promising all of that so that the word of God is going to be absolutely sure. Now, God wanted to convince us, believers in Jesus Christ, that's us, the heirs of the Genesis 22, 17, and 18 promise, how unchangeable was his purpose in fulfilling that promise, that we might gain full confidence that God would truly keep his promise to bless us. This is us. God really wants us to know. I want you folks at Nepog Church on, July 17, 18. July 18. This is the 18th, because tomorrow's VBS starts the 19th. I want you folks to know that I really want to bless you in my son. Now, accordingly, we believers in Christ have this special divine oath for the fulfilling blessings we are to gain through Christ as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that through Jesus Christ enters into the inner place behind the curtain in heaven's holiest of holies, where Jesus has gone as our forerunner. Someday we're going to go there. We're going to follow Christ. We're going to be in the very presence of the Father. But Jesus has gone there ahead of us, and he's our forerunner, and he's also interceding for our weaknesses and our sins now. See, we're not perfected yet. We're still in earthly bodies. We still have sin natures, and we need a lot of help. We need a lot of prayer, and that's why Christ has gone there, and he wants us to pray. That's why we prayed today when we dedicated everybody in reference to the VBS. We need prayer. We're involved in an angelic conflict in the ministry of Vacation Bible School. God wants to help us. So we were asking God to help. And it's going to be exciting to see what God does this week. You look out and watch. So Christ is there as our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's back in chapter 6, verse 20. And his ministry there is fully backed by God's promise that was made with God's oath that he took in his own name. So, though it is very possible that believers who have experienced stunted growth can backslide into a state of permanent hardening or the loss of divine blessing, God is not quick to let that happen to those who have begun their Christian walk rightly. Rather, the Lord longs for believers who suffer stunted spiritual growth to mature in the Lord, and he seeks to assure them that real, bountiful spiritual blessings are ahead for them in Christ by having made an oath in his own name to Abraham to bless all nations of believers through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we have experienced stunted spiritual growth in our walk, may we, on the one hand, fear the potential hardening that we might experience were we to remain stunted, but may we also realize the sure wealth of spiritual blessing that awaits us were we to go on and to mature in the Lord. Since God has gone the extra mile to take an oath in his own name to bless us if we mature in Christ, that blessing must be very great. So we should be highly motivated to grow in the Lord by taking advantage of his intercessory work in our behalf. I was talking with a Christian following the service this morning, and this Christian shared with me how they've been listening to one of the lessons. They're catching up on the lessons. They've been behind on the lessons because of they've been busy. And I was on a lesson out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it's you're supposed to watch your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this believer had not recognized that that promise and that verse is actually couched within the challenges between elders and people who are supposed to be submitting to elders in the church, that Satan often likes to create chaos and problems between leaders and those who are following, so he can disrupt the church. And that was a new thought to the believer. And this believer was able to apply that in a special way. and gain discernment. Just exactly what we were talking about in the sermon this morning. So I was pleased to hear this from this believer, and I could see the joy in this believer. Now this believer is all the more motivated to keep growing in the Lord because they've grown in discernment, because they've been able to take something that they learned from the Word and apply it in an area of life that they didn't know before. And so I got to see firsthand an illustration of what I'd taught in the sermon this morning. It was a thrill. It was exciting to see that in this believer, the joy in the believer. It was a joy for me to experience it sort of secondhand through this believer. God wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to mature in our Savior. He wants us to rely on Him, to pray to Him, to get answers to prayer. VBS week is a tremendous time for that, because we're rolling up our sleeves, we're working, we're serving the Lord, and God wants to demonstrate His power and His involvement in our lives and in our ministry. So hopefully we'll see that happen this week. And through that we'll enjoy growing in the Lord, and maybe, perhaps it'll be a motivation for us to keep on growing in our relationship with our Savior.